The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
My next guest is a well-known journalist in Somalia, but due to his work, an attempt was made on his life, and there was a promise that a second attempt both would be made and would not fail. Salman Jamal had no option but to flee and seek refuge. His journey brought him to Ireland and now to City West, where he is staying while being processed, which is it seems to be a terribly long process. He's being processed and is in the hope of having his wife and children join him. Salman, you are very welcome. Your personal story, you were a journalist, you were also a government advisor, is that right?
Yeah. Last time I was a government advisor, the Speaker of the Parliament, of Somali Parliament, I was media advisor.
And what happened with the attempts on your life?
I was working as a journalist in Somalia, a television which is called a University TV, his base in London, and the other headquarters in Mogadishu, the Somali capital city. I was working there more than 15 years as a journalist, as a reporter sometimes. Sometimes I was a newscaster. So, you know, to be a journalist in Somalia is too difficult. So we are working hard inside Somalia. Our colleagues were killed, some of them. Some of them was injured, some of them they flee the country. And we also tried to stay the country to work our people. But 2015, there was an accident which was happening to me and my colleagues. We were three, and a car accident, the suicide bomb. Before that, because of when you are talking about the political in Somalia, it's so difficult, you know.
When you say an accident, you were in a car crash or you were a victim of a suicide bomb attack?
Yeah, we were victim, yeah. They were attacked. Before that, they were calling us, and they were the Al-Shabaab, you know. Al-Shabaab is a terrorist group. They wanted to control the Somalia, and they are fighting against the Somali government. Inside the journalists, you need to talk about their issues. If you don't talk their issues, you will be on target. And if they saw you on the government side, you will be a target. That's why we are target. All the journalists in Somalia, they are also their target. That's why they attacked us.
Were you injured?
Yeah, of course. I injured. Just I lost this eye. And also some in my here. And many things. That in 2015 it was. And two of my colleagues, they were died. That suicide bomb. And they lost their lives. One of them, he has 11 kids. Another one is 7. It is their first time to come in Mogadishu because of what in our station, the television in the headquarters, they were reports at the other towns. So they came to Mogadishu to to take the training. At that time, they came to the airport. I was one of them, and I was taking pickup to the airport because I have a car at that time. To the airport, then the car accident happened at 5 p.m. in 2015.
When you came back then, you moved to being an advisor to the Somali government. How long were you in that position?
Yeah, only 2022. I was advisor. Then when I came back to Mogadishu, and other times they called me again by telephone. They said to me, you come back in Mogadishu again. First time 2015, you survived. Your friend or you lost. Now you will die. So the last journalist they killed in 2003, he was sitting in a restaurant to take coffee. Then some suicide bomb come and he exploded. That journalist was died. At that time, I take decision to flee the country.
But when you would go to the security forces, I mean, I assume as a government advisor, you go to government, you go to the security forces, you say there is a real legitimate threat to my life. I have already been attacked once. I have reason to believe that Islam. They do nothing to help you?
No, nobody can help you. Because of what? There is a lot of journalists there. Some of them, they work with the government. Some of them, they are member of the parliament. Nobody can protect. Only the official, the prime minister, the president, and the speaker of the parliament, and the ministers, they have own protection for the government or government official. Let me give you an example. Some journalists, they are, what I can say, coming from abroad, like CNN, like BBC. When they come in Mogadishu, the government or the Minister of Information, they give them protect. They give them bulletproof cars, and they make if they want to do some documentaries in the country, they give them protect. But the local journalists, nobody can give any protect.
But the bit that I don't understand is that I can see how, though it mightn't be what you would want, I could understand how journalists mightn't be protected. But surely as a government advisor, that puts you in a position where the government should be offering that kind of protection. As a matter of course, even in the difficult situations.
Yeah, of course. Nobody. No one. The government, they don't give you guarantee to protect you, or they don't give you any. And also, they don't give you any car to protect yourself. You own you. You have to survive. If you see this in Ireland or also other countries, there are a lot of politicians. They have become MPs, become officers in Somalia. They don't get any protection. They flee from the country because of what? When you are official, or when you become, when you work at the state house or the prime minister house, the prime minister, and also the speaker of the parliament, you can get the protection. That's why the levels of what I can say to you, the one who's worked the government as low officials, they don't get any protection.
And do you believe that you were a target for Al-Shabaab because of the previous work you had done as a journalist, or because of your role with the government?
Yeah, of course, the role of a journalist. Because of first, I was talking that what they are doing in Somalia is not correct. I was making reports. I can make documentaries. When they make suicide bomb for the restaurants, for the hotel, they're killing the civilians. I was talking to them. That I was telling the people that this is not right. That what these people are doing. And that time they are calling. They're calling me. Just they will text you message. They told you and they said to you, just you are against us. That you are government. And they also believe that the government, if someone aside of the government, he's not a Muslim. That's why that they are targeting all of the people.
Tell me then about your arrival to Ireland. How did that happen?
Yeah, when I came back to Mogadishu and I started to work the government, I was a good fishing to work my people, to stay in my country, to work hard. And I was believing me when I was talking more than 8 years that they forget me. But when I came back, when they saw the official letter that the government announced me to be the speaker of the advisor of the Somali speaker, they started calling me and text me message by Facebook, by my calling. And they told me that I will be at the target. Then sometimes, you know, I can't go my home. I can't visit my mom, my dad, my family. So it is so difficult. That's why then I take decision when several times they attacked me, and I take decision. I talk with an agent, which is to take me this country. And my mom told me, before you become a victim, you just lost an A.
Now explain how that process works. You say you spoke to an agent. Who is the agent?
There is agents, which is they mostly pick up the people from the Africa, or especially in Somalia, and they told you that they will take you here from other Europeans. At that time, most of the generation, more of my colleagues, they leave to Somalia, to Latin America, they cross to go to America. So I don't have any choice at that time. I said any country that I can get peace, the way that I'm going only to get a peace. Because of what in Somalia, you can't see the restaurant, you can't go outside, you have a pressure.
And who are the agents?
There's a lot of agents there in Somalia, or also in Africa. There's a lot of agents. They pick up the people, they give you a passport like you to as your face. Then how do you see this passport? Is this okay? Then you can say, this is okay, I can. Then he will take you there he will get the ticket from Mogadishu to other countries, transit from Europe, from Dubai, from Ethiopia, then other country in Europe.
And who are they working for? Or do they work for themselves?
Themselves.
So it's a private commercial.
Yeah, it's a private commercial.
And they create a passport, give it to you, and get you on a plane.
Yeah, all the people, they do that.
How much does that cost?
Sometimes aside of the which country you want. Just if you wanted to go to America, the cost will be more than 30,000, 20,000. In Europe, they can take you 5,000. Then you're paying your own ticket. You pay the ticket, you and him. So,
but they will say to you, here is the price list of countries. Yeah. What can you afford and where do you want?
Yeah, yeah. They do that. There are a lot of people. Some of them, you see, some of them, they took you from if you have a lot of little money, some people, they take you from agencies, take you from Somalia to Libya to Italy, like that. So that is so a big difficulty journey, you know. So, but taking you from Somalia to other European countries, they cost you 5,000, like that. They do that.
Why did you pick Ireland?
Because I don't have any choice at that time. because of what he said to me, and I told him that I need to be to get a safe country. So I don't think before in myself to leave a foreign country. Because of what I was in my country, I was living there. But the bad situation or is you don't have any peace. If you don't have you lost your aid and you lost your friends, that's the problem. So when in the airport, he told me that I'm in Ireland, in Dublin airport. He told me just now you are in Ireland. So then I get the taxi in the airport and I come to the town. That's why.
So who is the first person from, a government official or an immigration official? Who's the first person that you interact with and claim asylum with? Who did you meet?
I go to IPO. I come the center, and then one of my, there are a lot of journalists here become for me before here. Then I talk to them. Then they said to me, we are not in Dublin. We are outside of Dublin. So they give me the location. Then I take the location. Then I go to director to IPO. Then I told them that I am asylum here. Then that's why they accepted me. Then I give them my fill the screening interview, then I do it, and they take me to the City West.
And what has happened since? Because you've now been in City West, in what was the convention center, for 5 months. Explain your living conditions.
Really, it is so difficult. Though, so someone, he don't have any private, so sleeping with four other different nationalities. You want to talk to your family, you want to talk to your mom. So it is not private. Sometimes it's either the other one is sleeping next to you, he can talk the telephone loudly, so you can take, please, we're going to sleep. So aside of accommodation, aside of food, aside of cleaning, it's so nice, but aside of private, so someone is living, so it's just so difficult.
Why did you come without your family?
My family, just they are in Somalia. They live in Mogadishu. I can't travel with them because I don't have money. That's why I don't have money. So I have to survive myself because I was the target. They are not target. And sometimes my wife, she go with her mom. Sometimes she sleep her. And also the kids, they don't know the neighbor that they are my kids. Because I'm a well-known journalist in Somalia. If they know the people that this is my kids, I afraid to be there, they will be a target. So sometimes they take her daughters, her sisters home, our mom, and sometimes they come my mom home. So different places.
But it is your belief that the people who are targeting you do not know who your wife and children are. Is that it?
No, they don't know.
Have you been given any indication as to how long before you will get a decision as to whether or not you get asylum?
Really, I don't know that because of what, just it is my first time to be in asylum.
Final question, do you believe you, from your experience in Ireland over the last 5 months, do you believe you are welcome?
Of course, yeah. Welcome, good people, very respected people. I don't think any bad thing here. And I get a quiet place, clean country. So very good people. Sometimes when you are in the train or in the loose, they ask you where you're from and they will welcome at you. That I like it.
Salman, thank you very much for coming in and telling your story.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.